Welcome to this online Sunday worship service at Bossiedale Baptist Church of Carbondale, Illinois. I'm adding that city location because I have learned that some friends who live in other places have decided to open our website and join us on occasion. So, welcome to all. This is the morning worship service of June 7, 2020, and you may be listening on Sunday morning, but new modern technology allows you to listen to this at any time after it's posted on our website on the morning of June 7th. So we rejoice that we are able, in this unusual time of our lives, to be able to realistically worship together while actually being in different locations and perhaps even in different times than the original posting of this Sunday morning service. Here at Bossiedale Baptist, every year, we designate a month and a half of time to recognize and celebrate our belief in the exceptional and distinctive realities of our Christian families. Because we extend more than a single month, we call our emphasis Christian Home Season. And every year, we have a special Sunday, Sundays that are special events, extending from Mother's Day of the second Sunday of each May all the way through to Father's Day, the third Sunday of each June. In between, we also observe family realities of graduation Sunday, the Sunday following Mother's Day, celebrating children and young people graduating from any moving up level of their schooling. On Memorial Day, that weekend, We devote a Sunday to recognize families who have special memorial observances, a time of the acknowledgement of sacrifice given for us all. Then the first Sunday of June, this Sunday now, at our church is recognized as Children's Sunday, celebrating everyone's anytime childhood and what a Christian home can and should mean to children as they grow up to adulthood. We finish out our Christian home season a couple of Sundays from now, June's third Sunday, which will be Father's Day. And during these 44 or so days in May and June, we try as a church fellowship to look very carefully at God's intention and purposes for families, and take this time to enjoy all phases of our families as we believe God intends for us to do. From the very beginning, God created the blessing of us not being alone, but in a family. From Adam, who was alone, taking God's gift of Eve as the creation of a new idea, a family, and then adding Cain and Abel and Seth and so on, building and achieving this new thing called a family. Now, all I can say is God bless us all. So this is Bossiedale's Children's Sunday. Celebrate with us. You will hear many references to children in today's message, and hopefully concepts, spiritual references, as to how we can strengthen the growing lives of children into solid Christian lives. I think almost all of us, if not all, are familiar with the admonition and goal of Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a great plan. A great goal. A final word of an introduction to our worship for this Sunday. Thank you for your part in making this a fellowship of believers, worshiping in this unique way together. We are all so much more accustomed to gathering at the church house, shaking hands, hugging, and saying words of greeting face to face. And this time of being kept from that privilege and that joy has been a learning experience for us all. It is our hope and prayer that when we can walk into our church with each other on a Sunday morning and pray together and read and study scriptures together, sing together, and know the loving touch of being face to face with one another, that hope, that prayer will be that we have taken all the radical experience of not being allowed to gather for worship, grown in our realization and understanding of what some Christians around the world struggle with all the time, and have a new appreciation and resolve to make our Sunday worship at our church, wherever yours may be, since we have other listeners, to be a priority and a regular habit. For some, this is a renewal. For some, this will be a return. For some, this will be a new way of life, and good for us all. Our prayers, our music, the hymns for the service, and a reminder of returning to God a small portion of His bounty given freely and abundantly to us, and our scripture and message based on it, all of that will now be our time of worship together for this Sunday, June 7, 2020. At Bosque Del Baptist Church, we begin, as many churches do, with a hearty welcome to all who have come to worship, and then with a prayer to invoke the presence of God in our hearts as we worship Him together. So, welcome to all. And if you're not a member of this church, but blessing us by joining with us today, a special welcome to you. Of course, that's a bit different right now since we're not really face-to-face, and when our building opens again, probably around the end of June, maybe, I hope you will be able to join us in Sunday worship at that time. Now, will you all join with me in our prayer of invocation, asking God to open our hearts to His presence even now? Dear Lord, of all Your created universe, be with us, we pray, as we devote this present time only unto recognizing and thanking You for Your majesty and love for us. We come with thanksgiving in Your mighty Son's name. Amen. For this Sunday, we call Children's Sunday here at Bosque Del, the sermon message is titled, What We Can Help Our Children Learn from the Holy Spirit. And the scripture passage for this message is based on Galatians 5, verses 16 through 25. The major thrust of this message from the Apostle Paul to the Galatian Christians was the presence, purpose, and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives as followers of Christ, and how radically different that is from what we become if we decide to take control ourselves rather than give the Spirit the power to control and direct our lives. How this difference in life control affects the mental growth of a child is what we need to focus on for the sake of our children growing up to be godly rather than having a life revolving around the perils of human weakness. Our hymns, which when we are in church service are interspersed throughout the service, are for these times at the beginning. We will participate in those following the reading of the scriptures. First, however, let's go to a very important part of our pre-message time, our call to congregational prayer. As part of that prayer, I've received two special requests, and these two are what I would call corporate requests in that it is prayer for large groups of Christ followers. I'm hoping you remember to get in touch with me during the weekdays if you have a special request, and we will add those requests for prayer in all of our Bosque Del congregation. You may address these by mail to me at pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, at boskydel.org, P-A-S-T-O-R, at boskydell.org. Or you can put them in on this website. As you open the website, which you are now on as you're listening, there are 7 links on the left side of the home webpage, and you may click the 6th of the 7 and submit a prayer request. The two corporate requests I have received are, one of our members pointed me to an urging last week from Franklin Graham of Samaritan's Purse for all churches to pray for a special intercession by the Holy Spirit on our nation for the turmoil and bigotry that is rising to a height of real and present danger. He pointed out last Sunday that it was Pentecost Sunday, which we did observe at Bosque Dell. Pentecost is the observed founding in the book of Acts of the Christian church by the coming and empowering of the Holy Spirit. That's in the first chapter of Acts. And Graham urged us, every one of us, to pray for peace, to pray for the right perspective, to pray for patience, and to also pray for an outpouring of the Spirit. And we shall. A second request for corporate prayer came this week from the officers of the American Baptist Women of the Great Rivers Region. And it was to pray for all women of our American Baptist churches for strength, grace, and compassion. But with those in mind, and our families and friends and those we do not even know but support, as a very important part of our worship of Him, let us turn to God and pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You as a unified fellowship of Your children, we all come with thankful hearts for everything. Father, it's so wonderful to be able to be thankful for everything. And we are only able to do so because all things are under Your watch care and control. We know we need to continue to pray in our faith and trust, to grow in our faith and trust in You, because we fall back on our own devices way too many times. We are reminded in some of His first teachings, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, Jesus told us all to put everything into Your hands, under Your control, and You will bless. Very honestly, Lord, sometimes times are so bad we may lose heart. But Jesus told us the right way to not worry, but leave the unforeseeable outcomes all to You. But we do pray for Your interventions, and then Your blessing, and return, we pray, to some peace in our nation very soon, if that is Your will for now. And Father, in the middle of all that has us concerned, there are just some plain people we offer up in this prayer. Plain people because they're our friends, they're our neighbors, they're our church members. Father, Mary Ann has requested that we pray for her sister-in-law, Mary Lee Stotler in Arizona, and for her niece, who is Dawn, for her recovery. We've been praying for, and now we offer a new prayer for Effie Bremer's daughter, Patty Fraley. Her very necessary surgery was postponed several times, but it is now scheduled for Tuesday the 9th, and prospects are good, and we are thankful. We continue prayers for a good recovery for Tom Main and for Bob Thomas. Our prayers rise up also for Lida Horn and for Johnny Sue Davis. And dear Lord, in the pastor's family, in my family, I share with all who are joining in this prayer a prayer of support and fast healing for our son Josh, with successful surgery a couple of days ago, Friday, and for Sue's sister Jane, known very well by our church, for a good recovery from several coronavirus symptoms, but thankfully a negative test for the virus. But she is not well, so we pray for good recovery. Now, Lord, there are many more that we so often pray for, some for months past, even for the past several years. You know our hearts, and You know who these are. The list is long. The list is precious to us and to You. Thank You that we know our often prayers are always in Your godly concern and love. Today, Father, we celebrate Children's Sunday as a special emphasis here at Bosque Dell. Surely we are all Your children, but our prayer is for the relationship we have with our human children. To our parents, we have all been children, so we are all included in this prayer concern. But Father, this day we want to pray for children everywhere. This is a struggling world, and children face many unknowns. Help us, Lord, to be bearers of good news, good times guided by the Holy Spirit for all children everywhere. We include in this prayer now, as we have often lately, prayers of support for the many who are giving so much of their time and expertise to help others get through this difficult time. And there are so many in several groups of wonderful Americans helping others here and around the world. Father, I ask that your blessing and guidance be upon your churches at this time. Some have ventured to gather in their buildings for this Sunday. Protect them. Some, like our church, have decided to wait and watch, primarily because our congregation and many like us are at particularly high risk. We are so thankful that our church has been able to have a semblance of worship through the internet airwaves. Bless us as we look to determine a safe time to gather once again. And when we do reopen to gather as a congregation for worship, Father, give us renewed thanksgiving for what church and church members mean to each of us. Now we ask for good standing as your loved children. We are sinners, repenting of every sin and loving that Jesus paid the ransom for all our sin. That which no one else is able to do, we cannot do it ourselves. Wash us clean as the driven snow with his blood shed on Calvary. Now hear our prayer, O Lord, as we are praying together in Jesus' name. Amen. After a time of prayer together, it's always a good time to go to the Holy Word, our Bible, for Spirit-led inspiration. For this worship time, our scripture focus for this service is Paul's letter to the Galatian Christians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. I hope that you have your Bible handy and can turn now to read along with me, Galatians 5, verses 16 through 25. And I'm reading today from the relatively new and highly accurate and readable Christian Standard Bible, the CSB. Read along with me, if you will and if you can. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires is what is against the Spirit. And the Spirit desires is what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, and if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading and of our hearing of his word. Now for the hymns of this service of worship. We actually have two, but I have added one because of our special emphasis for this time of worship. And what is that? It's children. It is a short special, and when it comes up, I think you will just want to sit back and enjoy. And you know the words. You've been singing this one all your life, started way back when you were a child in Sunday school. That's the third one. But our first hymn is a focus on the Holy Spirit. This is an old favorite hymn, but for some reason not included in the hymnal we use at Boscadel. As always, I encourage you to sing along with these words as the first verse. Holy Spirit, breathe on me until my heart is clean. Let sunshine fill its inmost part with not a cloud between. Breathe on me, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart, cleanse every part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Our second hymn is so important for us to sing and truly believe in this time of our lives when you can only describe even our everyday lives as turbulent times. We must remember and claim this. We are special people and protected as His flock by followers of Jesus, the Great Shepherd. The title is Only Believe. So sing along with these words of the first verse. Fear not, little flock. From the cross to the throne, from death into life, He went for His own. All power on earth, all power above, is given to Him for the flock of His love. Only believe, only believe. All things are possible, only believe. Only believe, only believe. All things are possible, only believe. The third song, I don't believe we would classify this as a hymn, is a special treat for this special Sunday, Children's Sunday. Listen and enjoy. Jesus loves the little children. I'm sure you know that one and you know the words. Going back now, after those wonderful selections of music, going back to our scripture for this message. The first verse of our reading, verse 16, walk by the Spirit and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. It sets the stage for what comes toward the end of the passage, verses 22 and part of 23. Paul's wonderful presentation of the famous fruit of the Spirit. We look at the middle verses and we say to ourselves, those works of the flesh, why would anyone do those terrible things? And there's an answer. If we try to live under our own power, we are human beings, and those are things human beings gravitate toward, all people, unless you are doing your very best to understand the Holy Spirit and doing your best to give over control of your life to Him. The one Jesus told us plainly, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. That's from John 14. That was when Jesus was preparing his disciples for the completion of his ministry among us and the new ministry of the Holy Spirit, who would come to spend not 3 years with us from then, as Jesus had spent 3 years, but to spend all time until Jesus comes the second time. Now, here's the thing, and this is my opinion, but I believe I'm right. In our homes, we don't usually talk much during our children's childhood days, not much at all with our children, about the Holy Spirit. We talk a lot about Jesus, and, well, we should. We sing with them about Jesus, like we just had fun listening to Jesus Loves the Little Children, and other songs and poems about Jesus. And I think because we have these extensive stories about Jesus in the Gospels and elsewhere, we have glorified pictures that represent what Jesus looked like. And our kids get lots of that at home and at church. And friends, I want to say, well, they should. But the stories about the Holy Spirit are brief, and we have no pictures, and we virtually do not have children's songs about the Holy Spirit. I don't know how much you agree with my opinion about that, but see, I'm admitting from my household of rearing four children, we rarely spoke of or explained the Holy Spirit when they were young and growing. And yet, what Jesus did tell his faithful followers as he was leaving them and guiding them toward the godly help that was on the way is that He would be with them for far more than 3 years. He promised them the Holy Spirit and told them what He would do in their lives in the future. And so I say without hesitation, as our children are young, impressionable, and growing, a most urgent ministry of parents to children is to tell them as much as you can, as often as you can, about who's going to be in charge of their life as they grow into adulthood. And really, in the years before adulthood, the formative teen years, tell them honestly what a life governed by their own powers could and probably would lead to. They are harsh verses, but verses 17 and 19 through 21 of Galatians 5 should be presented as very possible and very ungodly. This catalog of evils is not exhaustive, but only representative of the works of the flesh, of people out from under the control of the Holy Spirit. And always follow the presentation of those verses with verses 22 and 23, what the Spirit can and wants to produce in their lives. Help them to see and to know when people's lives are controlled by the Holy Spirit, their lives are indeed beautiful. And here's another hint. If they see their parents leading Spirit-led lives, what you're teaching over and over, hopefully, will make sense to them. When parents and children live in their homes in the Spirit, they all walk in the Spirit. Children who are faithfully taught lots and lots about the Holy Spirit can and will receive His empowerment and truly will be able to walk in the Spirit. Okay, don't say to me, Pastor, you may be asking far too much a religion in a world where our children see God, the Bible, religion trampled on every day. So hear me well on this. I am not the one asking too much. I'm just repeating the words of Jesus, the words in the Bible, the words of the apostles. They all asked for this lifestyle. Just a quick review. Think of yourself. Think of your children or friends' children and children of any age, you know, 10, 15, mid-30s. They're still your children. And now review. Lifestyle you are leading before them, the lifestyle they are leading. Who would not want a life that really had these qualities, these things that always come out in their, in your actions and personalities? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is another revelation of the work of the Holy Spirit that is found most prominently in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10, and that is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Those gifts are more we should know about how the Holy Spirit works, but these are not the same as the fruit of the Spirit, and therefore that's a message for another time. I only mentioned the gifts because they are different and are not to be confused with the fruit of the Spirit. That's enough and all that on that distinction, and we need to return then now to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit results when the child of God is under the control of the Holy Spirit. I found a good, very good understanding of this in a book by Dr. W.T. Conner, titled The Work of the Holy Spirit. He wrote that the fruit of the Spirit is the natural result of the working of the Spirit in us, and that these ripened qualities of Christian character do not come so much by man's striving and energizing as they do by yielding oneself to the Lord. If we're leading children in developing their understanding of the Holy Spirit, that is a key issue. They don't have to do this. They have to allow this. Now, let me just give you a few words about all of the 9 character graces that are packed so succinctly in 1.5 verses here in Galatians 5, verse 22 and part of 23. Love. It is not accidental that love heads the list of the fruit. The character traits or the graces that make up the fruit of the Spirit. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and now these 3 remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. That's, of course, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciple, that you love one another. And that's in John 13, 35, verse 34, says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Christians of all ages, children to senior adulthood, are living demonstrations of the love of God. We're living it out in front of people. And Jesus said in his brief but profound ministry that the greatest of all commandments are two that are one and the same. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are in Matthew 22. Second is joy. There's no true Christian joy without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Happiness depends on happenings, but joy is the result of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There is joy in the salvation provided by Jesus, 1 Thessalonians 1:6. There is joy in serving Jesus, Acts 16:23 through 32. Peace, that's a third grace, a third character trait. Paul said, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, in Romans 14. When the Holy Spirit comes into a life, he gives peace to the soul in the midst of all external agitations. And that's something that we really kind of are counting on right now. When the Holy Spirit takes control, calm comes into one's life instead of chaos. As we're going through these troubled times, to be a person of constant and expressed peace is a display to children they simply do not see happening elsewhere these days. When they ask, attribute your genuine peace to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Patience. The Holy Spirit will supply God's children with everything needed, including patience, in the face of persecution, affliction, and distress. He will give patience in dealing with others and in efforts to help those who are spiritually weak, struggling with their sins, and needing a patient Christian friend. Kindness. Paul expressed the meaning of kindness as he wrote to the Ephesians, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. The Holy Spirit would have us to be kind with our words. Sharp and unkind words should not even be a part of our daily speech. The art of saying appropriate words in a kind way is an art that never goes out of fashion. But if you don't think you can do it, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to be able to do it. And if you don't think you can master it, you don't need to. You need to give this to the Spirit in you. Have you ever observed someone witnessing to someone and because they were not getting through, they became visually agitated? I've seen that. But the truth is, the Holy Spirit would have us to be kind and gentle in witnessing. Goodness. Barnabas is a real good illustration of a good man. Luke wrote in Acts 11, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Every true Christian led by the Spirit finds delight in goodness. And this is surely something growing children understand and appreciate. They need to learn that goodness can be theirs as they are led by the Spirit they are learning from you about. Faithfulness. Faith is also one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you read about in 1 Corinthians 12, and it's one of the virtues, one of the characters of the fruit of the Spirit. Faith is given to us to do the work of God and is exhibited in our lives by the Holy Spirit. Christians are those who trust in God and are faithful to Him, and it is the Spirit who leads our faithfulness as we open ourselves to His leading. Gentleness. Sometimes listed as meekness. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," Matthew 5:5. To be meek is to be a gentle person, and that is not weakness. Gentleness is illustrated by, well, say a wild horse that's been tamed and is obedient to the one who holds the reins. It is the Holy Spirit who changes us to be gentle, and He holds the controlling reins. Did you know that Moses, the same Moses who came back to Egypt in his 40s and challenged one of the world rulers, Pharaoh, with God's demands, and as he defeated Pharaoh's intentions, boldly led the Israelites through 40 years of journeying in the desert? Did you know that Moses must have been spirit-led? Because Numbers 12:3 tells us Moses was a very humble man, more so than anyone on the face of the earth. And now we come to the ninth virtue of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Self-control means holding in. The word self-control covers the entire range of moral discipline. The fruit of the Spirit is a controlled life because your control of yourself is empowered by the Spirit. Along with the first eight graces that we've just reviewed briefly, when a person grows in understanding to allow the power and presence of God's Holy Spirit, all of it is not only possible, it is assured. And is that not one of the best things we can spend our family time on for everyone's benefit? You are here, and you are the ones to see the role you have. And likewise, to be set out to live that and teach that in your families of growing children for the magnificent sake of your Savior, Jesus Christ. My friends, God called people. My friends, who are God called people. We can only conclude the fruit of the Spirit, as described by Paul in Galatians 5:22 and 23, portrays Jesus as He was among us and should portray the devout Christian trying to live as much as possible as the life of Christ. As one to model this before the world, model this in your home. Examine. Think about yourself. Are you a spirit-filled person? And closing Children's Sunday, I pray that we all have some new insights as to how we can give more emphasis on what Jesus would have us to know with our families, with all children who are going to grow up one way or another, of the flesh or of the Spirit. Well, that concludes our Sunday morning worship, apart but together in Boskydale Baptist Church. And for our closing benediction, we repeat and we intend for this to be the witness of each of us in the scope of our own worlds. Repeat our benediction with me if you know it, from Psalm 139 and Psalm 19. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And all the people said, Amen.